able to stand, let's do so, please. One book. Preserved it for us so that we know we have it. And we pray that you would continue to use our pastor as he teaches and preaches the word, that you would give him what you would have us to hear. May we not just hear your word, but be doers of it. We know our time is short, and we know that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And so we pray that we would continue to do what would please him, and be prepared for the moment that he returns. We pray that souls would be saved, lives changed, the brethren strengthened as a result of the work that you do here at our church. We pray that you continue to guide and direct us in the way that you would have us go. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. All right, let's turn the page to Psalm number 2. Right in the corner where you are. sure I make this because I didn't mention it in Sunday school. On the 11th, that's next Sunday, Brother Jeffcoat will be here. So we haven't seen him since last year. So we're looking forward to having him with us this next Sunday, the 11th. Hope you'll come and hear what God is doing in his life. And we're there in India where he ministers. So continue to pray that God will use him. The following Sunday, the 18th, that's when all the events are going on. First, the day before, the 17th, Brian and Erica will be married. That service is at 1 p.m. on Saturday. If you would like to come and be part of it and then participate in the meal following, there's a sign-up sheet here on the organ. Hope you'll sign up to come to that. And hope be a good service and bring our glory to the Lord. And then the next day, the 18th, we will have a normal Sunday school and morning service. We'll have a potluck dinner following the morning service. Hope you'll bring some good food. The church will provide everything else. And then at 2:30 p.m., we are going to have our pastor's induction ceremony. There will be a number of our guest speakers that have come in the past will be here for that service. Brother Renzi will be kind of officiating it, and this is new for all of us. I know I've never been a part of anything like this, and I doubt any of us have either. And we've never had one here at our church that I'm aware of, so it'll be interesting to see what the Lord does with all that. And anyway, Pastor will say more about it, but those men that have come over the last 3.5 years plus have been a real blessing to us and have meant a great deal to our church. And we want to do everything we can to say thank you for all the time and effort they put into helping us keep our church going while we search for our pastor. So hope you'll come and be part of it. There will be no evening service that night. The 2:30 service will be the last service of the day. Hope you'll come and be part of it. Pastor, do you have anything to add to that?
So, I mentioned during Sunday school, for those that weren't here, I read, for lack of better words, retranscribed, however you want to say it, the church bylaws, constitution, resolutions, amendments, everything that has to deal with the church. I put it on a new template. Those that have already given me your names, you don't have to worry about this, but Brother Sam is going to have a sheet of paper back there. And it's already set up back there. So if you would like a copy of this, write your name down there. We're going to have two categories. If you'd like a hard copy or a digital copy, I can email it to you. Let him know or put your name there on that sheet, and I will get that to you. If you'd like both, you can put your name down on both sides, and I'll get that to you, Lord willing. We'll get copies made this afternoon. I already had somebody help me out with that. So if you want a copy of the bylaws, write your name back there on that list. Also, regarding the gift baskets for those men coming in 2 weeks, after the service here, I'm going to hang this on the bulletin board right over there just to list some things we'd like to put in the basket, some ideas, some ground coffee, flavored tea bags, honey sticks, cookies that will go well with coffee or tea, chocolate or candy or coffee mug. If you'd like to get something, go ahead and get it and just give it to Melanie or I, and we'll get it in that basket and give it to those men when they come in. Also, today will be the last day. If you haven't voted for the service times, these little slips are still back there. To vote for the Sunday evening service, make sure you get that filled out and put in there, and I'll be collecting those tonight, and we'll discuss that. Also, after the morning service here, those that would like to stay, I'd like to discuss a few things regarding Pastor Reddy and some of the things concerning the bylaws and the church amendments and the Constitution. It won't take very long, just after the morning service. After we take like a 5-10 minute break, we'll gather back together again and just go over some of those things real quick. That's all I have.
Okay. All right. We're continuing our memory verse study in Titus chapter 2. We're currently studying verses 11 and 12. Next Sunday, we will move on to include verse 13. For those of you who would like to study it ahead of time, let's take our 101 books once again. Let's turn to Psalm number 5. Psalm number 5. other words, will be put back to the way Adam and Eve were at the beginning of creation. And we will have that body like the Lord Jesus has. All right, for our last psalm before the special and the message, let's turn the page and we'll sing Psalm number 6. Psalm number 6, if you're able to stand, let's do so one more time.
But he handed me the key. His face. He said, I want to make you clean. Let me go in your secret place. The door, and as the two of us walked in, I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin.
No doubt that the Lord led and directed in that special. I know what the world says today is, and what the world is celebrating as today. Some say it's Easter Sunday. Me personally, I think the term Easter has pagan origins. That's not the message this morning. But when you go everywhere and you see everywhere Easter bunnies and eggs and nothing about Jesus Christ,
come on.
How about happy Passover? That would be more acceptable, Passover. And Passover was a week or so ago. So we're not even in Passover weekend, which is if we're doing the Lord's resurrection this morning, that would have been prior. So, but I say that to say the Bible says this. David said in the book of Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity being sin or wickedness. David says, if I regard sin or wickedness in my heart, David says, though I pray all day long, if that's in my heart, if that's hidden somewhere in my heart, the Lord will not hear me until that's taken care of. And so I want you to take your Bible this evening or this morning, and we're going to look at something a little different. And it was confirmed to me. I was wrestling up here before the service if the Lord would have me go in a different direction. But I believe it was confirmed to me by that special. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse 14.
And if you can, if you can stand to honor God's word, please stand if you can. If you can't, because of health reasons, understandable. But if you can stand for the reading of God's word this morning, please stand. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 14. Chronicles, thank you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and look at verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. Here the Bible, the Lord is getting ready to appear to Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." Now, if you apply that to today and you're saved, that is you and your body and your mind and your heart. Verse number 13, "If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, that I have a voice this morning, Lord, that I can lift up to glorify and praise you. Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to the truth. Thank you for sending your Son to become a man, Lord, to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood, to be buried and rose again the third day, that I may have eternal life. I thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, this morning I pray, dear God, that you would just lead, guide, and direct, give wisdom, give guidance, Lord, that I would say no more or say no less, but Father, that you would speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. If there be something in our heart this morning that's hidden, that's put back in the background, dear God, that we don't want to face, we don't want to deal with, Lord, I pray that it will be dealt with this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, "If my people," referring to the Jews and the nation of Israel, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." A lot of people fall short right there. They'll get humbled down a little bit. They'll pray. They'll seek God's face. But then there's a little asterisk there to where God says, "Okay, I'm glad you did those things, but now I need you to turn. I need you to turn from your wicked ways." And the Lord says, when you do all those things, the key to the door will open the door. And he says, "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." That is what is needed this morning in this country. Not to go to service this morning because it's Easter Sunday. There's a lot of people coming to church this morning across this country. And the only reason they're coming is because it's Easter Sunday. And that's the only reason. That is the only reason they're darkening the doors of a church. And to God, God has no respect to that. If you're just merely going through the motions to be in church because you're supposed to be, because it's either Easter or Christmas, to God says here in even 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, there's nothing to be done with that. God sees the heart in the matter. That it's just mere religion. And not something that comes forth from the heart. Take your Bible and flip on over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. And verse number 1, Joshua chapter 7, and verse number 1. Joshua 7, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing." To give you a little background on it, Joshua and the children of Israel had just crossed over to Jordan. They had just gotten a great victory over the city of Jericho. And now we come into chapter 7 and verse number 1. And the Bible says that the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. What had happened was when they're coming up to the city of Ai, God tells the children of Israel, "Listen, you go in there and you destroy Ai and you do not take anything for yourself after I give you the victory over Ai." And here it comes into chapter 7, that they had committed a cursed thing when they took the city of Ai. It says, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The first thing I want you to notice in this story is here that God's anger was kindled against everybody in the country of the children of Israel. God knew who exactly had sinned and disobeyed him, but he calls out the whole nation and says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Why doesn't the Bible just say Achan? Well, because they live and breathe and interact amongst each other. As a body and as a nation, if one sinned, it caused a problem for the whole nation. Because they were God's chosen people and they were expected to be obedient and holy unto him. It's the same with us in this church building, especially those that are members. If there's sin and there's a rebellion and if there's stubbornness in one member, it's going to affect the congregation, especially when you come together in a church service. If I have envy, if I have bitterness towards my brother here, it's going to affect the services. Whether we realize it or not, that is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If you're bitter, if you're envious, if there's strife, the New Testament talks about it will affect the service. The Holy Spirit will be grieved because of that bitterness and envy and strife amongst two individuals. And here we see a principle of it found with the children of Israel, that Achan had sinned, yet the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse number 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We affect one another, and there's no way around it. Psalm 133, verse number 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I've heard my pastor, the pastor down there that I grew up under, down there in Charleston, say one time that one of his greatest joys is just sitting back and watching the church interact with each other in between services or after a service, and what joy he takes seeing everybody fellowshipping and talking and intermingling amongst each other. Because usually that's a sign of a healthy flock, when sheep are intermingling and talking with one another and enjoying one another and spending time with one another. And he says he enjoys that. And I was sitting here and I thought, what a blessing to look out and see how everybody seems to be talking with one another, interacting with one another, and love being shown. And that is a blessing from a pastor's standpoint. But don't let it be to where if there's something in your heart that you have angst or anger against another brother, don't let it destroy your walk. And don't let it be a hindrance between you and your Lord. As my brother's saying, God knows. God knows if we have anger, if we have animosity, if we have strife or bitterness towards someone else within the church. Nobody else might know about it, but our God knows. And let it be resolved as quickly as possible. Ephesians 4 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Take your Bible and look over at Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby be defiled. The writer of Hebrews gives a warning here in verses 14 and 15 and says, looking diligently, making sure that there's no seed of bitterness in your heart, that it might spring up and trouble you and thus defile you. God takes these things seriously. Again, it's not a matter of just coming to church and to punch our ticket and to go home and say we've done our duty, we've been to church this morning. God desires more than that. God desires a walk and a love for Him. Now look back at Joshua chapter number 7 and verse number 2. Joshua 7 verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So the second problem you find here is that they don't seek the Lord, or at least the Bible doesn't show that Joshua as a leader went before God to get directions on how to fight the city of Ai. So they take it upon themselves. He sends some spies up there. They come back and they tell Joshua, he says there at the latter part of verse 3, make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Basically, the men come back and they look at Joshua and they say, Joshua, we don't need to send everybody up there. Ai is nothing. It's a little city, maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 men. Get you them together. They can go up there. They can take it easy. The rest of us, don't send all the people up there. They can take care of it. And we can just hang back and relax while they go up there and fight that battle. Oh, that's when you run into trouble. They're just a few. It's just a little sin. It's just a little bit of rebellion, what God would have me to do. It's just a little bit of disobedience. The Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's when you let little things go in your life that before you know it, they turn into big things. You let a little seed grow in the ground, and a few years you come back and it's thorns and thistles and the wall's broken down and it's all covered up. And now it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort to clean that all up again and to rebuild that wall. And that is what has happened in our society, is we've let little sins go. We've let little things go that we used to be against, that we used to do 50, 60, 100 years ago, and now we've let it go, and now we got trees that we don't know how to deal with. We got situations that we don't know what to do about. We got, brethren, I can't even look at the news. It's so depressing. The times I do try to, I catch a few little glimpses of something, I think, is there anything positive out there? This person shot this person did this to this person, this, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. The crimes that are being committed and the lack of any conscience or feeling bad about something being done. It's because we've let little things go over time, and now we're at the point that we're at. And it won't be fixed by a president we get into office. I'm going to tell you, be careful who you associate yourself with. And who you line yourself up with. Now, you know that if I came up here and I gave you the middle finger, you would have problems with that. But I was driving to church this morning, and this supporter of a president, and he had his big, huge middle finger sticking up saying, because of this individual, if you don't follow this individual. Feel free after church, if you want to come up here and show me the Bible where that's justified. You know, the Bible says that Saul was zealous for his nation, and he caused Israel to sin. Because Saul was more zealous for his nation than he was for God. And in Saul's zealousness for his nation, he ended up causing not only himself to sin, but the whole nation to sin before God because they ate blood. Because he was so zealous to promote his nation than he was to promote what God wanted. And they ended up eating blood. and it caused a whole nation to sin. Brethren, these are serious matters in God's word. This morning, I would like to come in this morning and given a resurrection, nice little message that Jesus rose from the grave and that he set us free, and that's true. But I'm afraid that we're neglecting the things that are behind that, that if there's sin in our life, we can talk about Jesus all day long, but if there's sin in our life, you're not going to have no victory with God. And we're missing that today. We think if we plead the blood of Jesus or we say the name of Jesus, but if there's sin in our life and in our heart, God will not move in our life until that sin is dealt with, because he's a holy God and he will have nothing to do with sin, even in a believer's life. See, if we have sin in our life as a believer, we can come to church, we can put on the smile, we can wear the suit, we can put the tie on, we can dress nice, we can sit, we can sing the songs, we can raise our hands, we can pray, we can sing a special, we can do all these things, but if there's sin in our life, God will not move until that sin's taken care of. You will get no further. You will be stopped until that sin is taken care of. And I know because it happens in my own life. If I allow something to occur in my life that I know is displeasing and sinful towards my father says, son, until you make this right, our fellowship has been put on hold. You don't want that. You don't want your fellowship put on hold. Neither does your father. Nor does your Savior this morning. The Bible says he desires to have fellowship with us and to have joy in that fellowship. These are serious matters, and I'm afraid in most pulpits across the nation, these things are missed being dealt with. There's a lot of preachers, I would say the majority of preachers this morning are talking about Jesus being risen from the grave, and that's true, and that's wonderful, and that's glorious, and we need that for the forgiveness of our sins, but they forget to negate that there's probably sin in the congregation that's not being dealt with. And I'm not saying that's the case here. I don't know if it is. I have no clue. But if it is, that needs to be dealt with before you get the victory. Confession. The Bible says in 1 John, if we confess and forsake, he'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. You see, Achan here caused a problem for the nation of Israel. But you see, it stemmed from the whole country. It was a mindset that crept in, and it crept in quick, this mindset of, we don't need everybody to deal with just this little thing. We can just let this little thing go and just let a few people take care of it, and it won't affect us. No, we need to seek God in every aspect, in every area of our life. Nothing is little. And if you consider it to be little, it may just become a big thing that you may not know how to figure out or handle. Take care of the little things. Make sure you watch out for the little things, that they don't become something big and it causes problems and it causes death. Because look at verse number 5. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. 36 men lost their life because they thought that this was just a little battle. 36, look, I don't know if those men were married. I don't know if those men had children. But all I know is that 36 families were affected in the nation of Israel because of one man's sin. 36 men of the nation of Israel lost their life because of one man's sin and their lack of respect for the enemy. Brethren, our enemy is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Look, you would take pretty serious right now if all of a sudden I opened up one of these doors and a lion walked up in here. I guarantee you that the majority of the church would be moving. I would think there'd probably be very few individuals, if any, that would still be sitting in their seat and say, oh, look at that cat. Ain't that a nice cat? No, if a lion came out that door, I'm probably going to get out that door before any of you get out that door. Because I got a head start. But I'm serious. If a lion, a real bona fide, living, full-grown male lion walked into this building right now, everybody in here would have a respect for that lion. You wouldn't just walk up to him and go, hey, little kitty, can I scratch your back? You know, you want to play a little toy, have a little catnip? No. You're going to be scared. I'm going to be scared. And if I'm a good pastor, I'll give my life for you. If I'm a good pastor, I'll have to think twice, but no, I would, look, if that lion came through there, I would jump on it for you. And then I'd be crying the whole time saying, somebody help me out. But we would take it serious. The devil, how much more? The devil, how much more? That lion might have been fed before he came in here and have nothing to do with us and be completely innocent for the moment. And we would have plenty of time to walk out the door and find out, why is there a lion in here? But the devil, you know what the devil wants to bring? He wants to bring ruination. He wants to bring destruction. He wants to bring heartache. He wants to bring sorrow. He wants to bring pain because he enjoys all those things. And he enjoys it even more when it happens to one of God's own children. He takes great joy and pleasure in the heartache of one of God's children. Let him not have the advantage. Don't take nothing light. Don't get a mindset in your mind that this won't hurt me. This will be okay just this one time. This won't affect my life. This won't affect my marriage. This won't affect my children. This won't affect my brethren. This won't affect my church because it's just a little thing. No, we need one another. And we all as a church, as members, need to fight the battle together with nobody staying behind because it's a little thing. I need your prayers. I need your support just as much as you need my prayers and you need my support. We need one another. And here's a prime example of somebody taking something lightly, and 36 men end up losing their life. Verse number 6. And Joshua rent his clothes. He rent his clothes because 36 men are gone, and now the people, their hearts have melted and become as water. So Joshua, in verse number 6, rents his clothes, and he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. The leader of Israel is now crying out to God saying, I wish we would have been content just to dwell on the other side of Jordan. And sadly to say, most Christians are content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. But the other side of Jordan is not where God wants you. God wants you crossing the Jordan and entering into the promised land that he has in his word for you in your life and your walk with him. He doesn't want you just being content with where you are today. He wants you to go further in his word and in his and your walk with him. But Joshua is now so discontented, he said, I wish we would have just stayed on the other side, Jordan. Verse number 8, O Lord, what shall I say? Even Israel turneth their backs before their enemies. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall enrob us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. He says, get thee up. The Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. They've sinned against the Lord. If there is sin in our lives or unclean influences in our homes, it must be dealt with immediately, or else we will not be able to stand or fight against the enemy. You see, until this is taken away, Israel's going to suffer. Not only will they suffer in their battles for the Lord, they'll suffer in their fellowship with him, And if it's not dealt with, God will then begin to bring judgment in upon them because of undealt sin in their life. Joshua cries out to God and he pours out his heart to the Lord, saying, Lord, it would have been good if we would just dwelt on the other side, Jordan. And then it goes on to show in his prayer that he's concerned for his own life. Instead of trying to figure out why have we lost this victory? Why wasn't God with us when we went to fight Ai? And instead of seeking the Lord along those means, he cries out to God in his concern for his own life and saying that our nation will be cut off from the earth, because when word spreads abroad that the nation of Israel just got beat by a little town called Ai, the Canaanites, which are a lot bigger and a lot stronger, will get word of it, and they'll enrob us around, they'll surround us, and they'll destroy all of us, God. Basically, what Joshua is saying is, Lord, if this little town beat us, what is the big town's going to do to us? What are the big towns going to do to us? Listen, if we can't handle the little fights that come across our path, how are we going to be able to handle the big fights if they come across our path? Brethren, we don't know what the future holds. I forgot to bring my book this morning. But what if true persecution does come? What if true persecution of the church does come? That'll be a big battle. If we can't fight the little battles and get victory over the little things, how will we get victory over big things that might come, like the Canaanites? The children of Israel got some fighting up ahead of them. Ai, according to their knowledge, was not a very big fight, but they lost it because they took it for granted. They took it for granted. The Bible says in verse number 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. You see, there's no difference today between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the same God. And so much more today. You see, with the sin of Achan was he took physical objects and hid them in his tent underneath a carpet. He took physical objects that he wasn't supposed to have and he hid them. And God says in verse number 12, listen, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you, we're not going no more forward. Actually, there's going to be problems here, God says, until you take care of this thing. Because look what he says in verse 13. Up. Why does he say up? Because Joshua is laying before God. He says, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. So God gives a space and time of repentance. God tells Joshua to get up, sanctify the people, sanctify yourself, go out there and proclaim to these people saying, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, and you can't stand before your enemies until this thing is taken care of. So Joshua gets up, he gets all the children of Israel together, and he proclaims to them, he says, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. Basically, God is using Joshua to tell the children of Israel a warning. Sanctify. Sanctify means set yourself apart. Examine yourself. Look at yourself. What? See if there's anything in your life that is a cursed thing to God. That this may be why we're facing the judgment of God right now. This might be why we didn't get victory. So Joshua is asking everybody, examine yourself. Sanctify yourself. Get a hold of God tonight, because tomorrow God's going to meet with us, and you better make sure there's nothing there that's going to hinder our meeting with God. Verse number 14, in the morning therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to their families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. God gives us warning. God gives us warning. God's a good God. God is a good God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible even says there in the book of Revelation that he gave space of time of repentance for even the whore of Revelation. He gave her a space of time to repent. The Bible always shows that our God is good and that he gives warning and that he gives time and space to repent and make individuals right with God themselves, with God. And an opportunity for them to be made right with their Creator. There's no individual on this planet, like I said in Sunday school, that's going to be able to stand before God and say, God, you didn't show me. God, I didn't know. God, you didn't give me time. God, you just came upon me quick and didn't give me no opportunity to know you or make something right. They'll not be able to do it. All through the scripture, you see God giving space and time to repent and turn to him. How long did they have in Noah's day? Over 100 years. Over 100 years they saw that ark building. And they had time to help out and make it right when the time came. God gives space and time to repent. Only don't take it for granted. You see, we serve a good God. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. The Bible says God is slow to anger. God's not willing that any should perish. God is a God of love, as it says in the book of 1 John, but he's also a holy God and a God that cannot nor will he put up with sin or iniquity or wickedness in our life. He can't. He's God. If he could, he wouldn't be God and he wouldn't be good. God cannot and will not deal with sin, will put up with sin. Why do you think Jesus went to the cross? Why do you think he shed his blood? That he was being willing, that he was willing. You know how much God hates sin. He was willing to let his son, one of the parts of the Trinity, he was willing to let his son, his only begotten son whom he loved. You know how much God hates sin? He was willing to let his son be spit upon. He was willing to let his son be mocked. He was willing for his son to be blindfolded and smacked in the face saying, prophesy unto us if you know who's hitting you. He hates God the Father. God hates sin so much that he let his son be whipped on the back. God hates sin so much and abhors sin so much that he let his son go on a cross and be mocked and crucified and shed his blood. And God hated sin so much that he had to turn his back on the son. You want to know how much God hates sin? Look at the cross of Calvary. God hates sin so much and says that sin has to be dealt with, that he sent his son to die in our place. Sin is horrible. Sin will bring destruction. Sin will bring ruination. Sin will bring heartache. There's nothing good with sin. The only good that comes is through Jesus Christ. And what glory it was when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then in a few moments later, he cried out, Father, it is finished. And he was put in that grave and he rose again the third day victorious. Victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. To where, listen, you now have opportunity to live a sinless, perfect life. The opportunity is there. Now, for it to be attained, I don't think so. You can't attain sinless perfection in this life, in this flesh. But you can walk close to God. And you can have more victory than you had 2 days ago. 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you can have more and more and more victory and live a life that's more pleasing and more pleasing and more pleasing to him till the day he calls you home. Because of Jesus Christ. because he became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Take advantage of what God has given to you. The Lord desires not for sin to have rule and reign in our life. We can have victory over sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We can and we do have sanctification because of Jesus Christ. Well, back here in this story in Joshua chapter 7, the people were required to sanctify themselves. They were required to examine themselves to see if they had taken or been a part of the accursed thing. So verse number 16. "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and their tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken." Now this is where I would have started sweating. This is where I would have started being like, Judah. Now if you're Issachar, you're Asher, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, you're like, whew. I am so glad it's not in our tribe. But you know, when that tribe of Judah is called out, Achan's starting to sweat. "And he brought the family of Judah," verse 17, "and he took the family of the Zerites. And he brought the family of the Zerites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken." Verse 19, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." Joshua's got a heart. Joshua's got a love for the people. And Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, in the last days. When he sits upon that throne and he says, "Make confession unto me. What have you done?" Verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The Lord gave a space of time for Achan to repent and make this thing right, but he chose to keep his mouth shut. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 20. Revelation 2, verse 20. I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 20. Revelation 2 and verse number 20. I'm sorry. Yeah, Revelation 2, verse 20. Revelation 2, verse 20. The Lord dealing with the church of Thyatira, the letter he wrote to them through John. He says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Look what he says in verse 21. "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. The Lord even gave space of repentance to that woman Jezebel, that prophetess that caused the children of Israel's sin against God. He gives a space of repentance, but she repented not. God gave space to Achan to make the thing right. But he chose to hide it away because I think Achan thought that nobody would ever know. You know how people would know? If anybody knew Achan, if his family knew Achan, if all of a sudden Achan drove up and he had a brand new Mercedes, Zimri and his family are going to be like, "Where'd you get that car?" "Oh, I know you changed jobs." "No, I ain't changed jobs. I'm still a tent maker. I'm still..." "Where'd you get that new camel? How'd you get those new camels? I know you don't make enough money to buy that camel." "Well, you know, I just ran into some money." "When's he planning on wearing that Babylonish garment?" He could never wear it. At least not out in public. Because as soon as he wore that Babylonian garment out in public, the children of Israel are going to be like, "Why are you dressing like that? That's not how we dress." And they're going to know that's not the garment of someone who's a child of Israel. Our dress matters. What we put on, how we carry ourselves, how we live our lives, what we take part in, it all matters. Because we're a representation of the Lord. We're an ambassador for him. He would have never been able to wear that garment. And at 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, that was about, so in the silver, he had about $2,000, give or take a little bit, about $2,000 in his pocket. That 50 shekels weight of gold was around $35,000. So he had about $37,000 that he ran into. How's he going to spend it? If it's okay to have it, why has he got it underneath in his tent covered over? If it's okay to have. If there's no issue with it, why do you have it hidden? Usually that's a red flag that something's not right in your life if you got to hide it. If you're concerned about it, you don't want others to see it, and you're kind of, maybe you might want to reevaluate that thing. Because if it's something that's good and something that's right and pure and holy before God, why be so quick to cover it up? So Joshua sends messengers and they find all this. The question I have to Achan is, was it worth it? Was it worth it? And you say, why did God take out his sons and his daughters? Why? Because I believe they had a hand in it. And I believe they knew that it was wrong what their daddy did. I believe they knew it was wrong what their daddy did, and they didn't speak up, and they didn't make it right, and they didn't separate themselves from their daddy's sins. You see, God will hold all of us accountable, and we can't point fingers at this individual, or they're a hypocrite, or this, they're... God says, no, what are you doing to what you know is right? God says, what are you doing to make sure for me? You can't say, well, daddy did it, so it makes it right for me to do it. No, if it's sin, it's sin. I don't care if grandpa does it. If it's sin, it's not right to be done. And I believe that's the problem that his sons and his daughters ran into, is they knew daddy was in on this thing, and it looked like they were thinking maybe they get a cut of the pie too, and it ended up costing them. Was it worth it? Achan, was it worth the one Babylonish garment? Was it worth the $37,000 you got? To lose your life, to lose your family, to lose your walk with God there amongst the nation of Israel, to be stoned to death, was it worth it? The question I have this morning is the sin worth it? Is sin worth it? Sin's never worth it. I don't know about you, but sin will always leave a bad taste in your mouth. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season in the book of Hebrews. When God was talking, the writer of Hebrews is talking about Moses, he mentions that sin was pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable for a season, or else people wouldn't sin. But it's only for a season. And then there's consequences to the sin. Is sin worth the consequences? Most time it's not. It's never worth the consequences, especially when it comes to eternity. The Lord knows and sees all our sin, and nothing can be hid from Him. Numbers 32:23, I'm going to close with these two scriptures. Numbers 32:23 says, "But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord." And he's referring to Reuben and Simeon, or Reuben and Gad, when they wanted to stay back and take the land on the other side of Jordan. And God tells them through Moses, says, if you don't go over and fight with your brethren, he says, be sure your sin will find you out. We need to be sure and know that our sin will find us out. God's not ignorant of our devices. God knows exactly what's going on in our lives and in our heart. But there is hope. And I'm going to close with 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, verse 3 says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." God desires fellowship. God desires for our joy to be full as we walk with Him. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." The message this morning is, and what was sung in the special is there something hidden in your life? Is there something in your life that needs to be made right with God, that needs to be brought before His throne and covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the fellowship with the Lord that you desire? Do you have joy and peace this morning? If not, why? I don't want to know the answer. I don't need to know the answer. That's between you and the Lord. Is there something hindering your walk this morning? Are you not where you used to be? Do you desire to get back to the place where you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you just had that special walk and communion with Him? When's the last time you had a special time with the Lord in prayer? When's the last time you had a special time with Him off by yourself and just you and Him fellowship together? If it's been a long time, why? Or has there ever been a time where you had sweet fellowship with the Lord? On your own, by yourself, where you and Him talk together. Joshua told the people, sanctify yourselves. So I ask you this evening or this morning, if not, why? And I believe this, that if you will call out to God, He'll answer you. I believe if you ask God, God, is there anything in my life that's causing my fellowship with you to be hindered or halted? I believe God will show you. I believe God will show you if there's an issue that needs to be taken care of, because you're His child. And any good father that sees his son not walking the way he ought to walk will correct his son and show his son. Now, whether his son does something with that or not, that's another story. But I believe if you ask God to show you, Lord, is there something that may be hindering my walk with you? I believe God will make it manifest. These things are serious. And if there's iniquity in our heart, in our church, if there's a hindrance there, if there's strife, if there's bitterness, if there's angst, the Lord can't move as well as He'd like to move, because we can hinder it. And these are serious matters with God, especially in the day and hour we live in. Let not the small things destroy us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace. Lord, I'm thankful, Father, Lord, that Jesus Christ, Your Son, was willing to go to the cross of Calvary. Lord, that the Son was willing to become flesh and dwell among us, that the precious Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, was willing to be spit upon, mocked, made fun of, beaten, and hit, Lord, and crucified. Lord, I'm thankful, Father, Lord, that Jesus was willing to shed his blood for my sins to make the atonement that I might have eternal life. Lord, that I might have victory over sin and, Lord, the opportunity to live a life that's pleasing unto you. Lord, an opportunity to have fellowship with my Creator. And Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren this morning, Lord. If there's someone here that's lost, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes to the truth and where they clearly stand with you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's struggling in their walk with you, Lord, I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd lead them. I pray you'd guide them, direct them. And Lord, just help us to have a desire to love you more. And we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Brethren, I'd like to close in a hymn this morning. If you take that blue hymn book, page number, I believe it's page 357. Page number 357 in the blue hymn book. If you can stand, we'll sing a song because this song's hard sitting down. Page number 357. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ ransomed me. Page 357.
Thank you for this message and for this.
brothers and sisters. Amen. Y'all may dismiss. Loved you. In about 10 minutes, we'll get back together and discuss the things.